Okay, well, turn to Philippians. And guess what we're going to look at today?
Rejoice.
You know, this is a great time to rejoice. It's a great time to be thankful for the past year and how God's blessed you, and to look forward to what He's doing and promised us. And, of course, we always look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." There's several words in the New Testament that are translated rejoice, and they have different meanings, and we're going to see some of them. The word here is the word chairo, C-H-A-I-R-O. And it means to be glad or delighted or take pleasure in. So here it tells us that we are to take pleasure in the Lord, referring to Jesus Christ. and, you know, Paul writes this. He says, it's not indeed grievous. You know, it's not a burden for him to write to these people, but to you it's safe, meaning it's a reinforcement. It's a safeguard. So they understand that they are supported. They have help. So there are seven different words translated rejoice in English. The word in English means to gladden, exult, enjoy, take pleasure in. so let's go to verse 3. We could read verse 2 also. It says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." And dogs doesn't refer to animals, but what? People that will attack you from behind. Because that's how dogs attack, usually from behind. And so anyway, in verse 3 it says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So, we are the circumcision, meaning, you know, we're God's chosen people now. Circumcision, you remember going back to Abraham, God gave him a sign that he was righteous because he believed God. And then later in the law, he wanted all of God's people to be circumcised. And it was a sign to them that if they believed God, they would be righteous before him and that they were his chosen people. So here it says, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. You know, once you have spirit now, you are the chosen. In another place, it says that we are the Israel of God. In other words, it has no longer to do with bloodline, but rather believing in Jesus Christ and receiving Holy Spirit. So we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Well, that's a great verse, you know, and we heard some of that in prayer today. And if you listen to the manifestations, God makes great promises to us. He tells us he's going to take care of us. He's going to watch over us. Had several opportunities over the holidays to talk to a couple of people and just tried to reassure them that they can't figure it out on their own. You know, and you know, that's a human malady that we all share at times. We try to figure out things on our own. We try to figure out the solutions to problems or how we're going to sidestep something that's not, you know, a blessing to our lives or, you know, but it says here, we don't have confidence in the flesh. And the flesh, of course, refers to what? Our sense knowledge life, our, you know, the world. We rely on God and on Jesus Christ. And the word rejoice here is a different word than the word in verse 1. It's the word, and I try to pronounce this correctly, kakeomai, and it means to speak loud or boast. So it says here, if you read it like that, it says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and boast in Christ Jesus. We boast and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, okay, I'm facing this problem, but I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Christ Jesus. He has paid the price for me. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be made whole. He's going to protect me. He's going to supply my needs. He's going to have whatever I need to be there when I need it. I boast. I'm really blessed and excited about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did for me. I'm going to boast about it. Let's go to chapter 4 of Philippians. Interesting that Philippians has all these different words of rejoice. It's not in the other epistles so much, but a few times in Philippians, which is not that big a book. So chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord. How long?
Always.
Always. And again, I say,
rejoice.
So it says it twice there for emphasis. And again, this is the word kairo, to be glad or take pleasure or be delighted in. And it says to be delighted in the Lord, be delighted, right? You know, and it says it twice in the beginning and the end, and that's a figure of speech to emphasize that word. you know, when a sentence or a phrase begins with the same word and ends with the same word, it's to emphasize that word and what it means. So we're to take pleasure in, delight in Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 8 of John. Chapter 8 of John. And it says in verse 56, this is where Jesus Christ is having this discussion with the Pharisees. I use the word discussion because they were challenging him. They were accusing him. They didn't believe who he was. And so he says in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the word rejoiced here is kairo, and the word glad is kairo. You know, he looked forward. He looked forward to the coming Christ. He delighted in the fact that Christ was coming, that Messiah that God had promised was coming in the future. And that was Abraham's hope, right? It wasn't, he didn't know when he was coming, just like we don't know when he's coming back. He just knew that God promised it. And he was resolute in that belief. He was absolutely convinced that Messiah was coming. And then, of course, God told him that it was coming from his bloodline, and he believed that too. He believed that the Messiah would come from his bloodline, his family line. So Abraham looked forward. I made a mistake here. The word rejoice is not kairo. It's the word agaleo. A-G-A-L-L-A-I-O, which has a different meaning. And you know what that meaning is? This is kind of cool. It means to leap for joy. Abraham leaped for joy, and then he was glad. He took pleasure in it. What a great thing, huh? He leaped for joy. The word agaleo means to leap for joy or rejoice with song and dance. What a cool thing when you think about it. That's how blessed and excited Abraham was about the promise of the coming Messiah. Let's go to 1 Peter. So we know we are to rejoice in Christ Jesus, the Lord. And we saw that Abraham rejoiced at the coming Messiah, his hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll wait for everybody to get there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that certainly is something to rejoice about, isn't it? Take pleasure in, jump for joy, any of those things. It doesn't say that here, but to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through believing, or faith, or believing, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And what is that last time? When Christ comes back, right? We get new bodies, and that through believing unto salvation. Salvation is we get that wholeness, that completeness. We get a new body. You know, we have a perfect mind. You know, everything is there. And you go back in the Gospels and you read about the resurrected Christ, and it says we'll be like him. What a great thing. That's the salvation we look forward to. We've been saved. We've received Holy Spirit. We have eternal life. But when he comes back, we get the full measure. We get it all. We get the full, whatever God has promised us, we get it all. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season. We rejoice right now. And the word there again is agaleo. We leap for joy. We greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, we may go through stuff right now. We may have bumps in the road, curves. We may have difficulties. We may have challenges. But that promise of Christ coming is something that no matter what, we can rejoice in. In the Working Translation, he translates it very glad. Very glad. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, or the testing of your faith or believing, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. Rejoice is again agaleo. We rejoice with joy unspeakable. And that word, joy unspeakable, is kara, which is a form of the word kairo. It's, and again, joy or delight. The Working Translation, he translates verse 8, although you have not seen him, you love him. Believing on him whom you do not currently see, you are very glad with inexpressible glorious joy. Wow. What a great promise, huh? Because no matter what happens, we have that great promise. What a great God. If that doesn't trump, if it doesn't wipe out all the crap that we go through in life, I don't know what else does. You know, in Romans 8:18, what does it say? I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. So when you think about that and you think about these verses in Peter, you say, wow, I have this unexpressible, how do you say it? Inexpressible glorious joy. Wow, how great is that? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. You know, today is, you know, tonight everybody in the world goes insane for a couple of hours. And everybody's happy and they look forward to that new year. Oh, yeah, everything's going to be better. And then they go right back to the same normal stuff, right? And most of the time when they make, what do they call it? Resolutions. They never keep them. And, you know, if they survive the New Year's party, whatever they do. They still got to go back to work the following day or the following week, and they still have to face the same problems, the same difficulties, unless they have something to really look forward to, which we don't need New Year's to look forward to, but we look forward to every day as a new day. We look forward to the day when Christ could come back. This could be the day. Maybe we'll never see that new year. I'd be really excited about that. I'd forego the party. Chapter 2, verse 24. Whom God, speaking of Jesus Christ, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him. David had that hope also. He had a hope of the coming Messiah, just like Abraham. It said, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. What a great thing. My heart shall rejoice. And that's a different word. It's the word euphreno. And it means to make glad-minded or cheer. You know, David thought about this promise that God gave him, that the Messiah would come from his bloodline, and that Messiah would sit on his throne forever. That's the promise that God made to David. And it says here that made him glad-minded. It cheered him up when, you know, he had to deal with the crazy stuff that he had to deal. And David had to deal with a lot of crazy stuff. He had to deal with Saul trying to kill him, and he was a fugitive for years. And then two of his sons tried to take over the throne. Not in the right way, but they just tried to usurp the power. And yet David had to go through all that stuff, but he knew and he rejoiced in his heart about God. He rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Wow, what a cool thing. My heart was made glad. He said, my tongue was glad. And that's the word agaleo. And, you know, Walter Cummins translated this, my tongue rejoiced exceedingly. In other words, he spoke about it. He talked about how blessed he was about this hope that he had of the coming Messiah. where'd I leave off? Okay. Verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So God even revealed to him about the resurrection. He knew that the Messiah would not see corruption, and that David himself, he knew he would be resurrected at the last times. And then it says in verse 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And the word joy is one of those words that's translated rejoice. It's actually a form of the word. It's euphrazuno, means mirth or merriment, to fill with gladness. David rejoiced. He was glad. He was thrilled at the realization of the hope and all that it meant. It cheered up his life. And you know, he had to go through a lot of crap, but that's one of the things that he held on to. That's what kept him going and kept him blessed and gave him peace of mind. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith or believing into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in that hope. Again, in chapter 8, it says, you know, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, we look at that hope, we think about that hope, and we should rejoice. And we rejoice in that hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the Savior Jesus Christ and all he did for us. And we rejoice in that hope that God has sent before us and all that entails, that Christ is coming back and all that we get. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. What a great thing. And the word in chapter 2, rejoice, is that word kakaomai, which means to boast. So we rejoice and we boast in that hope of the glory of God. We boast in it. We speak loudly about it. We're excited about it. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. You know, this section here is pretty cool. It says in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, sometimes we think our world and our country and our society and culture is bad. Just read about the Roman Empire. You know, we have some pretty screwed up things in our culture, but they were really good at it. They had a perverse culture for sure. Anyway, and that's who he's speaking to at this time. You know, that perverse nation, he was talking about, you know, the present world at that time. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Rejoice in the day of Christ. Wow. Which is kakaomai, to boast. We can boast at the day of Christ. You know, we boast about it. We're looking forward to that day of Christ when he comes back. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your believing, I joy and rejoice with you all. And that's that word caro. You know, he joys and rejoices. He takes pleasure in. He's blessed about it. I rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. You know, and it's the same, it's caro. We take pleasure with each other in recognizing the coming Christ and that day when it'll be here. You know, that's our joy to share with each other. Let's go to Romans 12. We're going to start in verse 9. Because the context really has to do with what it says in verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation being hypocrisy, which means what? A false face. You know what a hypocrite is, right? So let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And abhor means, you know, just get away from it, stay, and then hold fast to that which is good, which is the word of God and God. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And slothful in business really has to do with what? The work of your life in the word of God, in the body of Christ. Is not, you know, your job. Fervent, diligent in spiritually serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And so here's the word kero. We are to rejoice with them that rejoice in, you know, in the body of Christ. It's talking about in the body of Christ with those believers, with those people that we love and fellowship with. Let's go to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter. And chapter 4. And this is a great verse. It says, verse 13, it says, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Wow. You may be glad also with exceeding joy. The word rejoice is kero. Exceeding joy is agaleo. And it could be translated, you may also rejoice and be very glad. You know, and what are we glad about? About when we share in his glory. When he comes back and we share in his glory. You know, yeah, there's going to be difficulties sometimes. But we share in his glory. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll close there. Chapter 3, verse 6, it says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And that word rejoice there is to boast. We boast of the hope until it comes. So we keep boasting. We keep talking about it. We're not shy about telling everybody about our hope of the return of Christ. So it is a great day to rejoice, isn't it? And it says, rejoice in the Lord how often?
Always.
And we always have that hope. No matter what goes on, we can rejoice in that hope. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for keeping us safe and healthy and strong. We thank you for a peaceful night for everyone, as, you know, whatever anybody's doing. Everybody stays safe. And, God, you just watch over our country as we go into a new year. We thank you, Father, that this new year can be a great one for your word to live and reach out, and that people can hear the truth about your Son, Jesus Christ, and about the greatness of your word. And we thank you for this in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.